You're listening to the Spark Radio Network, internet radio like you've never heard before. Innovation, creativity, and imagination are all said to begin with a spark. So fasten your seatbelt and take the ride of your life and listen for the spark.
You are listening to KLRN Radio, where liberty and reason still reign.
Most writers and radio show hosts know that to connect with your fans, you need to do more than just write books or record the latest podcasts. There are many different elements that go into forming an online platform, but there are also many hidden traps. To make matters worse, solid advice on how to survive the muddy waters is scarce. In the book Hidden Traps, I talk about some of the important issues of working with an online platform, highlighting traps that could put your physical or internet security at risk or be harmful to your reputation. Are your social media posts just links with a few disjointed words, making you look like someone who can't complete a sentence? Did your new website cost you more than you anticipated? Are you leaking your personal contact details across the web without even knowing it? Then you need Hidden Traps. Hidden Traps is now available in paperback and ebook from a variety of retailers, including Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Kobo. Visit blackwolfpublications.com for more details.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-553-8687. That's 800-553-8687. Again, 800-553-8687.
KLRN Radio has advertising rates available. We have rates to fit almost any budget. Contact us at advertising@klrnradio.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-783-0810 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-783-0810. Again, that's 800-783-0810.
My son was in the Army back during Desert Storm, but even then he wanted an MBA. He looked at a dozen schools, but only one offered the online education and flexibility he needed while he was in a tent in Iraq, Grantham University. Turns out that Grantham's been delivering affordable, relevant college and advanced degrees for over 65 years. Heck, if they can deliver a quality education to a soldier in a tent overseas, think about the flexibility Grantham can offer you so you can earn your degree too. It doesn't matter how complicated or full your life is, if getting a degree is on your bucket list, you'll want to do what my son did. You'll want to call Grantham. Find out how easy it is to get started on your education so you can check that college degree off your bucket list. Call Grantham right now, 800-910-1370. That's 800-910-1370. Flexible, affordable, relevant. Call 800-910-1370.
Sometimes riders feel lost, unsure why a passage may not be working. It takes another set of eyes to help us nurture our writing into full maturity. At Black Wolf Editorial Services, we strive to enable writers to develop and grow, offering manuscript critiques and line edits through a mentoring editorial style. We also offer assistance on generating a writer's bio for your websites. Black Wolf Editorial Services, nurturing your writing into maturity. For a full list of services, visit blackwolfeditorial.com.
Way. And we built this country called the USA, and we fly our flag cause we're proud and free, we're Americans. Red, white, and blue is our way of life. We never back down from a challenge or a fight. Nature provides, God gives the rights, we're Americans. We fish the waters and we hunt the lands. We forge the steel with our own two hands. With what we've got, we do the best we can, we're Americans.
This is Rio of Madison Rising, and you're listening to KLRN Radio, where liberty and reason still reign.
It's time now for the Conservative Curmudgeon Radio Show. Now, here's Grouchy.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to 2018. I hope you had a great holiday. I know I did. Kept it nice and quiet the way I like it. And, you know, I also want to take one more opportunity to thank Jennifer, Tiffany, and Aggie for helping out with the Holiday Traditions little mini-series of shows we did leading up to Christmas. We had a great time. We got great response on that, and we will do it again next year, bigger and better, I promise. Or this year, I should say. We'll do it this year. Again, bigger and better. So thank you again, ladies. It was an absolute pleasure having you on and talking about your family traditions over the holidays with us. And thank you for sharing. Programming reminder coming up tonight after me, Jesse's POV, the Stafford voice. And Rick, do we have anything in the late slot yet since you moved to the early slot? That'd be a no. Rick's a little busy right now, so we're not going to worry about it. There'll be something there. But anyway, before we get rolling good tonight, I just want to take a minute to remind you that, you know, the country is friggin' freezing cold right now. Bring your pets in. Bring your pets in. Or at least make sure that they have someplace warm to be if you can't bring them in. I've seen too many stories about pets freezing to death on the porch or you know, the whatnot because people are just too stupid to bring them in when you know it's going to be that cold. And if you're too stupid to bring them in when it's that cold, you don't deserve to have them to start with. That's right. I've got my little neighborhood stray is in here with me right now in the studio, and she's just trying to figure out what the heck's going on because she doesn't come inside. She doesn't really like it that much, but it's just too cold to leave her out there. So do the right thing. Take care of your pets, even if they're not really yours. All right, so other news going on around the country. This evening, Trump forced to dissolve his voter fraud commission after states refused to turn over voter info. He actually signed an order to dissolve that commission this evening. So that's a done deal. It was a pretty kind of slow day for news, really, other than, you know, if you want to count the Trump Bannon spat that's unfolding. I'll choose to talk about that maybe at a later time. You know, all we know right now is that a couple of little shots have been fired. We don't know if this is going to blow into a war or if this is just going to fade away now. So, you know, anyway, that is what it is. You can have fun reading on that if you want to. I'm not going to speculate at this point. I'll wait for the big major motion picture. Other news today, the Clinton home in Chappaqua catches fire. Now, we don't know exactly what happened, but there are all kinds of fun rumors going around about Bill playing cigar games again. You know, we don't know. We don't know what's going on. But Clinton House catches fire. Fire department puts it out and saves most of the house. I'm sure there was some fire damage inside. Nothing that a Clinton Family Foundation endowment check can't handle, though. Right, guys? Right on. All right. So before we get going good tonight, as always, the phone lines will always be open on my show, whether you agree or disagree with what I'm saying, whether you want to add or detract. It's all good with me as long as you come with facts and aren't a jackass. We have airtime for you. The number is 408-681-8255. That's 408-681-8255. Oh, and by the way, I get to be the judge of whether you're a jackass or not. So anyway, let's fire one out of the gate. Senator Orrin Hatch, the longest-serving Republican senator, announced on Tuesday that he will retire at the end of his term, rebuffing the pleas of President Trump to seek an eighth term. He's been in there. Let's see. If he served seven terms, that's 42 years in the Senate. I don't care how much I like Orrin Hatch. That's too long. Senator Hatch is 83 years old. And I'm not going to sit here and belittle or bemoan his service. Thank him. I'm going to thank him for his service, as a matter of fact. But still, 42 years is too long. I don't care who you are. 32 years is too long. But anyway, what Senator Hatch's retirement does is it opens a door, presumably, and paves the way for Mitt Romney to run for the seat. And Hatch and Romney were actually together very recently at a fundraiser. And a couple of days after that, Hatch makes his announcement. And not 30 minutes after the Hatch announcement of retirement, Mitt Romney changes his Twitter profile to reflect his home as Utah. Well, you know, why not? Hillary can do it. So anyway, Hatch made his decision public on Tuesday in a video announcement. He said, when the president visited Utah last month, he said, "I was a fighter. I've always been a fighter. I was an amateur boxer in my youth, and I've brought that fighting spirit with me to Washington," he said. "But every good fighter knows when to hang up the gloves, and for me, that time is soon approaching." Now, Hatch was actually being coaxed pretty hard by the president to seek a reelection and block Mitt Romney from running. Romney, who's been a pretty harsh critic of the president, but Hatch, who emerged as one of the president's most avid loyalists in the Senate, decided to retire after discussing the matter with his family over the holidays. The veteran senator has amassed a distinguished record over his four decades in Washington and has become a fixture in a body once noted for its bipartisanship and now deeply polarized. Once considered an institution in his home state, Hatch was facing sobering poll numbers in Utah, where 75% of voters indicated in a survey last fall that they did not want him to run again. Hatch's decision comes just weeks after Trump signed a comprehensive tax overhaul into law, a measure that the senator helped write as chairman of the Finance Committee. Now, the bill represented something of a capstone to Hatch's career, and Senator Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, the majority leader, deemed it as such last month in what was seen as a subtle effort to usher his colleague to the exit. Hatch's decision clears the way for the political resurrection of Mitt Romney. The former Massachusetts governor and 2012 Republican presidential nominee, who is now a Utah resident and popular in the Mormon-heavy state, Romney has told associates that he would likely run if Hatch retires. David Hansen, a longtime Utah Republican strategist and chairman of Hatch's political organization, said that it would be very difficult to defeat Romney if he were to run here. In a statement on his Facebook page, Romney made no mention of his intentions, but only saluted Senator Hatch. As chairman of the Senate Financial and Judiciary Committees, and as the longest-serving Republican senator in U.S. history, Orrin Hatch has represented the interests of Utah with distinction and honor, Romney said. Romney intends to make his intentions known in a matter of weeks, according to an advisor who spoke on the condition of anonymity, which I hate. You either have something to say, and if you do, it's worth attaching your name to, or keep your pie hole shut. Romney's senior campaign team will include Matt Waldrop, who has been running Mr. Romney's annual policy retreats, a longtime fundraiser, Spencer Zwick, and his former chief of staff, Beth Myers. Zwick did not confirm Mr. Romney would enter the race, but said, of all the people who can run, Mitt will represent and honor the legacy of Senator Hatch more than anybody. As for fidelity to Mr. Trump, Mr. Zwick was more restrained, saying while there are things that he agrees with on him, he'll be a big supporter, and when there are things he disagrees with, he will voice that as well. And as it should be. That's how it should be for anybody, okay? You don't have to agree 100% of the time. It's just common sense, folks. It really is. So Romney had been operating under the assumption that Hatch would run again. As of Monday, while skiing with friends in Utah, he did not bring up the possibility of campaigning. That is in part because Mr. Hatch had privately told Mr. Romney that he was not sure that he was ready to leave the seat he had held since 1977. Folks, are you kidding me? This guy's been in the Senate almost as long as I've been alive. And White House officials did all they could to nudge him into another campaign. Last month, Trump flew with Hatch on Air Force One to Utah for a day of events aimed entirely at lobbying the senator to run again. Trump announced that he was vastly shrinking two of Utah's sprawling national monuments, reversing decisions made by Presidents Barack Obama and Bill Clinton at the request of the senator. And the president used a speech in Salt Lake City to say that he hoped Mr. Hatch would continue to serve your state and country in the Senate for a very long time to come. The senator returned the favor at the White House when President Trump signed the tax measure, calling him one heck of a leader. We're going to make this the greatest presidency we have seen, not only in generations, but maybe ever, Hatch said. That's a lot of work to do there, buddy. A lot of work. The president has had Mr. Romney on his mind over golf. Trump asked Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina what he thought of the former Republican nominee. Graham praised Romney and predicted he would be a solid senator. Romney repeatedly assailed the president during the 2016 campaign, calling Mr. Trump a fraud, And the president shot back, or then candidate Trump shot back, stating that Romney choked like a dog in the 2012 race. Maybe a little shot at the, you know, the dog cage on top of the car. I don't know. But it is what it is. That's what was said. The two had something of a rapprochement after the election when Romney was briefly considered as Secretary of State. But White House advisors are reportedly uneasy about having such a well-known critic in the Senate. Now, as the president prodded Senator Hatch to stay, voices in his home state were urging him to go. On Christmas Day, the Salt Lake Tribune named the senator Utah of the Year, but not for flattering reasons. It would be good for Utah if Hatch, having finally caught the great white whale of tax reform, were to call it a career, the paper said. If he doesn't, the voter should end it for him. Wow, pretty strong. But I get it, though. I do. Again, 42 freaking years. That's just too long. I am all about some term limits, folks. Term limits. Let's see. In announcing his retirement, Hatch joins an exodus of Republican heavyweights in what promises to be a difficult election season. Also on Tuesday, Representative Bill Schuster of Pennsylvania, the chairman of the House Transportation Committee, told the Washington Examiner that he planned to retire at year's end. Schuster, only 56, was facing a possible primary challenge from the right and said his decision would allow him to focus exclusively on trying to steer major infrastructure legislation alongside bipartisan priority into law. I don't know how retiring allows you to just focus on something, you know, when you got less. I guess if you're just going to ignore everything else and then pay attention to that only. Kind of seems like you're skirting your job then, but whatever. Other retiring House chairmen include Robert Goodlatte of Virginia, the Judiciary Committee, Jeb Hansarling of Texas, the Financial Services Committee, and Lamar Smith of Texas, the Committee on Science, Space, and Technology. In all, 33 House Republicans have announced they will retire or run for another office, compared to 16 Democrats. Mr. Hatch joined Republican Senators Bob Corker of Tennessee and Jeff Flake of Arizona in announcing an end to his Senate career. And very much like the others, I suppose, I don't know Utah politics very well. I'm down here on the Northern Gulf Coast. I don't know what's going on there. Like I heard and read Arizona politics. Arizona's just sick of Flake. He was polling about 16%. Yeah, smart move on ending your career there, Jeff. Corker in Tennessee. Corker's been around a little while. He's of retirement age. I can see that decision. I don't know if there's anything else that rides into that or not. I don't think Corker and the president have any major issues between them, so I don't know. Hatch, from what we're hearing, the people of Utah were just, I guess, tired of it. 4+ decades is a long, long time, and I guess they're just ready for a change. So, I see that the Democrats have already started posting about the seat in Utah, saying that they did it in Alabama and they can do it in Utah. The difference is that they're trying to draw a parallel already between Mitt Romney and Roy Moore. And folks, you just can't do that. You can't do that. The Republican candidate for Senate in Alabama was such a major jackwagon. But it would not surprise me it absolutely would not surprise me if they started bashing Romney, making him out to be a sexist. His you know, binders of female candidates for jobs. You know, just the fact that they would go there again. If I were Romney, I would be playing my Russia prediction. That's solid. I mean, we know Russia is an adversary, and he called him on it, and he told everybody. He called it during the debate with Obama, and he was mocked for it. And now look, half the country thinks that Russia colluded in our election somehow in one form or facet. I mean, how more right could he be? So Hatch defeated a Democrat in Utah 42 years ago this November, arguing that the incumbent had stayed in Washington too long and had become one of the country's most prominent senators for a generation. While he usually voted a conservative line, he also developed close relationships with his Democratic colleagues, most famously with Senator Edward Kennedy of Massachusetts. In the 90s, the two collaborated on what became a landmark health care plan, the State Children's Health Insurance Program, the CHIP program. Hatch negotiated a bipartisan expansion of CHIP in 2008, paid for by an increase in the federal tobacco tax. That was signed into law by President Obama in the opening months of his White House. You know, Hatch's long list of accomplishments means that he will depart as one of the most productive members ever to serve in this body, Mitch McConnell said in a statement. And, well, yeah, when you serve in a body like that for 42 years, you should be a productive member. For crying out loud. So, in his retirement announcement, Hatch dwelled on his long record, including initiatives like CHIP and the Americans with Disabilities Act, as well as more partisan achievements like his prominent role in the confirmation of Supreme Court justices and his authorship of last month's tax law, which passed without a Democratic vote. Only in a nation like ours could someone like me, the scrappy son of a simple carpenter, grow up to become a United States senator, he said, addressing Utah voters. As your senator, I've always sought to fight for you and for those that could not speak for themselves, and I believe the results speak for themselves. Well, Senator Hatch, I salute you for your service and for your contributions, albeit long overstayed. But that is what it is. I'm going to catch Rick a little off guard here, but because I'm at the end of that story, I'm going to tease the next up, and then we're going to take a little bit of an early commercial break. When we come back from the commercial break, we're going to dive into the Iran protests, and we're going to dive pretty deep. We're going to go into the who, what, where, when, how, why, and especially the why at the end. I think you might be a little bit surprised, but then maybe not. Maybe not. If you think you know the why, you can always feel free to call in and we can discuss it before I get to what I have as the why. And I will give that number out again when we come back from the commercial break. So do yourself a favor. Stay tuned right here and we'll make this happen in just a few minutes.
My son was in the Army back during Desert Storm, but even then he wanted an MBA. He looked at a dozen schools, but only one offered the online education and flexibility he needed while he was in a tent in Iraq, Grantham University. Turns out that Grantham's been delivering affordable, relevant college and advanced degrees for over 65 years. Heck, if they can deliver a quality education to a soldier in a tent overseas, think about the flexibility Grantham can offer you so you can earn your degree too. It doesn't matter how complicated or full your life is, if getting a degree is on your bucket list, you'll want to do what my son did. you'll want to call Grantham. Find out how easy it is to get started on your education so you can check that college degree off your bucket list. Call Grantham right now, 800-910-1370. That's 800-910-1370. Flexible, affordable, relevant. Call 800-910-1370.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 dollars a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-516-7602 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-516-7602 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-516-7602. That's 1-800-516-7602. Again, 1-800-516-7602.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-783-0810 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-783-0810. Again, that's 800-783-0810.
All right, welcome back, Little Pink Houses, to kick off the new year. So anyway, like I said before the break, we're going to get rolling on this Iran thing, the protests, and you know, we got a lot to talk about with this, and we'll probably end up not making it to another story tonight after this. But if we do, we do. And if not, that's fine, too. Real quick programming reminder, Jesse's POV is next following me, and then the Stafford voice. And if Rick is still around, I can repeat my question from earlier. Do we have anything in the late slot yet, Rick?
No, we do not.
No, we do not. So that would be your nightcap there with Mr. Stafford on the Stafford voice. So do yourself a favor. Stay tuned. It's, you know the thing. You know the deal, right? It's Wednesday. TV sucks. So just stay here. Now, before we get into the Iran thing, like I told you before the break, here's the number. If you want to call and disagree with me, if you want to share something you think I'm missing, whatever. You know, you want to disagree, you want to tell me I'm an idiot, you better do it nicely and with facts, otherwise you're going to get hung up on. but the number is 408-681-8255. That's 408-681-8255. So anyway, we know that Iran, there's been protests going on. What a lot of you don't know is that they've already been going on for a week. It's not something that just happened this weekend. It's been a week now. Significant anti-government protests since a disputed presidential election dating back to 2009. It's not new in Iran. These people have been protesting the government for years. 6 days of unrest across the country have resulted in more than 20 deaths and hundreds arrested. The supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, accused the country's enemies of meddling in recent protest rallies. Nikki Haley, the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, called Tuesday for an emergency UN meeting to discuss the crisis. Now, here's what the protests are really all about, okay? The unrest started last week as a protest over Iran's beleaguered economy. Unemployment is high, around 12% across the country, and the costs of basic necessities, such as dairy products, have been spiraling out of control. The protests have widened to a more general expression of anger over alleged government corruption and discontent with Iran's clerical rulers who have been called for Khamenei, the supreme leader, or there have been calls for Khamenei to step aside. So, where are these protests taking place? Well, they started in the northeast city of Mashhad, when people took to the streets to convey their disappointment over President Rouhani's failure to deliver on promised economic prosperity after a nuclear deal with world powers. As news of the protests spread on social media through Telegram and WhatsApp, widely used in Iran, protests erupted in other cities, including Isfahan and the capital, Tehran. So, of course, you know, as these protests start, the government has to have a response, right? So security services have used force and tear gas to disperse crowds. At least 21 people have died, 450 arrests or more nationwide, according to Iranian media. And please pardon me, I'm developing a case of hiccups here. Tehran's Revolutionary Court warned Tuesday that arrested protesters could potentially face the death penalty when they come to trial. Authorities have also tried to slow and in some cases block access to the internet and ban some international calls. At the same time, Rouhani struck a conciliatory tone and said protesters have a right to be heard as long as they do so according to the Constitution. Without naming a specific country or organization, Khamenei accused Iran's enemies on Tuesday of meddling in the recent protest rallies. So the White House had a response. And since the protests started, President Trump has taken to Twitter. Shocking, I know, right? He actually tweeted something. Who could have guessed it? And not that I'm complaining. It's a six in one, half dozen in the other with Trump on Twitter. He can't get a fair shake in the media, so he feels that he has to do this himself. He's partly right and he's partly wrong. Do I care for his style? No, you know, mine's different, but that's me and he's him. And as long as he's not doing anything that is illegal or, some kind of violation of national security, suck it up, Buttercup. Get used to it. This is what the man does. So there's that. But since the protests started, President Trump has taken to Twitter on multiple occasions to let Iran's government know that he is watching closely. Yeah, I'm sure that frightens them. He also has expressed solidarity with the protesters and their poor economic prospects. Yet Trump also tried to characterize the protest as a direct result of Iran's foreign policy in the Middle East. The people are finally getting wise as to how their money and wealth is being stolen and squandered on terrorism, he said in one tweet. On Tuesday, the administration called on Iran to stop blocking Instagram and other social media sites and encouraged Iranians to use special software to circumvent controls, such as VPNs, said Undersecretary of State Steve Goldstein. So, you know, there's that going on. What's going to happen next? Well, if we look at history, Iran's security forces ultimately crushed the 2009 Green Movement when millions marched in protest over the disputed re-election of Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. So far, the current scale of the protests is much smaller, and it's not clear how much the public dissent, how much public dissent Iran's government is willing to tolerate. Trump is considering imposing new sanctions on those responsible for the crackdown on protesters, said Kellyanne Conway on Tuesday. That comes as Trump faces a congressional deadline this month on whether to certify that Iran is meeting the terms of the 2015 nuclear accord with the U.S. and other nations. And if you weren't around for the episode where we talked about why and how he has to certify that arrangement annually, search the archives. We don't have time to go back through it right now. Anyway, so again, you know, we've got Khamenei, the supreme leader over there, accusing the country's quote-unquote enemies of meddling in the recent protests. You know, those were his first public comments since the demonstrations started a week ago. We don't need to cover the injured and arrested again. We know that this is partly over economic issues such as rising prices and high unemployment, and just widened a general anger over alleged government corruption and discontent with Iran's clerical rulers. We are going to cover another reason in a little bit as to why this is also going on. But according, well, let's see, a lot of this is the same stuff. Why are my notes so jumbled like this? I don't know. I got to fire my intern.
Damn it, Seymour.
Yeah, I know. Seymour's screwing it all up. So anyway, Iranian state television reported Tuesday that 9 people were killed just in the one night. That's pretty stout, 9 in one night. 6 rioters were killed during an attack on a police station in the town of Quadrihan. An 11-year-old boy and a 20-year-old man were killed in the town of Khomeini-Ashar. And a member of Iran's Parliamentary Revolutionary Guard was killed in the town of Najafabad. Najafabad. Yeah, say that 3 times fast. Anyway, I long for a simpler time where we just rolled over the Revolutionary Guard with our tanks. but whatever it takes, you know, for those of you that don't know, you can look up General McMaster, who I believe was a captain or a major back during the original Gulf War, Desert Storm. His tank maneuvers are legendary, folks, legendary. The towns are all in Iran's central Isfahan province, about 215 miles south of Tehran. The semi-official ILNA news agency, yeah, they're semi-official because they don't want to seem like they're completely owned by the state. But they reported that nationwide, 200 protesters were arrested Saturday, 150 more on Sunday, and then 100 on Monday. Rouhani, the president of Iran, sought to downplay the significance of the protests in a cabinet session on Sunday. "We are a free nation, and people are free to voice their protests according to the Constitution." Now, I don't know what their Constitution says, but I was hoping somewhere in my notes that Seymour would have prepped that for me.
It's your fault. You took him on Bunny Show, and he got a big head.
Well, yeah, I think he grew ears, too. Yeah, and get this. Yeah, now he's demanding like vacation days and bonuses and crap like that. Told me that if I didn't start putting in, he was going to go to work some other place.
Could have been worse. At least he didn't ask you to start putting out.
Yeah, well, that would have been a problem. That would have been a problem. Yeah. Just saying. Not that there's anything wrong with that if that's your thing, but, you know, that's a problem for me. So anyway, we don't know what their constitution says, but at the same time, we need to be aware criticism should be expressed in a way as to change the situation for the better, Rouhani said. And so basically, you're not allowed to just be mad. You have to have a fix for what you're mad about. So still, Iran's semi-official Tasnim news agency warned Tuesday that arrested protesters again, could face the death penalty. The agency quoted the head of Tehran's Revolutionary Court, and this is a name I'm going to really struggle with, Musa Ghazanfarabadi. I think I got that right. Ghazanfarabadi. Yeah. Obviously, one of their charges can be waging war against God. So if you're obviously, according to their constitution, if you protest the supreme leader, that is waging war against God. So there you go. The offense carries a death penalty in Iran. The Revolutionary Court handles cases involving alleged attempts to overthrow the government. President Trump has made several statements of support for the protesters. He made another one yesterday in a tweet that echoed his previous comments. The people of Iran are finally acting against the brutal and corrupt Iranian regime. He blamed his predecessor for helping to strike a deal between Iran and six world powers over Tehran's nuclear program. All of the money that President Obama so foolishly gave to them went into terrorism and into their pockets. The people have little food, big inflation, and no human rights. The U.S. is watching, Trump said. Now, really, is there anything wrong with Trump saying that? And if you get right down to it, if Trump had called a press conference and walked out to the Rose Garden and said that they were watching what was going on in Iran and were saddened by the brutal conditions that the corrupt regime was forcing on the people, and you know, told them that they supported the protesters, and you know, he talked about their very, very poor economy, their huge inflation, and their lack of human rights. Again, is this a problem for anybody if he does this in the Rose Garden in front of all the reporters in the White House press pool? So what's the problem with him just doing it on Twitter then? Again, you know, I'm not going to sit here and pass judgment on this man. He has a very difficult job. Granted, it's a job I would love to have. But that's not going to happen. So, anyway, you know, I don't have $1 billion to run for office with. I could have been the Republican senator from Alabama if I had had one political pack willing to get behind a common sense conservative candidate. I could have trounced both of those monkeys that were running in this special election a month and a half ago now. But again, that's just what it is. Trump did it on Twitter instead of going to the press pool. And basically, they don't like that. So they ridicule him for it. But that's not the real story here. So, you know, the administration has called on Iran to stop blocking social media platforms. And Washington is definitely considering sanctions now. So, you know, that's a big thing. We could go sanctions up. The recertification of the Iran nuclear deal, which happens annually, is due. You know, who knows what could happen here? Let's watch. All these people freaking out also about the nuke button with North Korea, just calm the hell down. Yeah, I saw the one reporter, I forget who he was. Rick, if you know who it is, chime in and let me know. The guy that was talking about how he was just shuddering at the fear of war, and he was so sorry for all the parents of soldiers out there because Trump was going to kill everybody with his foolish comments. I mean, come on. All the man did was tell North Korea what they already know. It's not like he's launching missiles. He's reminding them of what they already know. Is it juvenile? Yes. Is it funny? Yes. Yes, especially to us men, because most of us are still juvenile, at least partially. Now, we're going to press on here because I promised you a different little backstory as to the why. Right now, smartphones are on sale at U.S. Cellular. Really?
My bad. I was trying to find the name and it pulled up an ad instead.
Oh, okay. So anyway, look, you know, we have media outlets like CNN and the New York Times that have been rightly called out for their failure to report accurately on the protests or timely on the protests in Iran. But there's something that not even conservative media is telling you today, okay? And it's an important backstory that very well, I'm hesitant to do this. The word I have written in my notes is it's important backstory that might be playing a role in this rising protest movement. But I'm going to change that right here on the spot, and I'm telling you I'm changing it so you know where I'm coming from. I'm going to tell you that this is playing a role. And I don't know how much of a role, but I guarantee you that this is part of it in some aspect. As for the left-wing media, Caroline Glick noted in her article in the Jerusalem Post that, quote, given the earth-shattering potential of the protest and its extraordinary, it is extraordinary to see the liberal media in the U.S. and Europe struggle to downplay their significance. And here in the U.S., the U.S. former members of the Obama administration and the liberal media have determinedly downplayed the importance of these protests. Now, similarly, writing for the Daily Wire, Ryan Saavedra stated that, quote, the media initially ignored what was going on in Iran. This is why you didn't hear about it right away, folks. They ignored it. You didn't know there was a week's worth of protests going on. You just knew about a couple of days. Likely because it reflected negatively on former President Barack Obama, whose Iran nuclear deal was supposed to help Iran's economy, and because the Trump administration's response was night and day better than Obama's response in 2009. Boom. Now, CNN and the New York Times did a terrible job of covering the protest, while ABC News' Matthew the Idiot Dowd declared that the United States did not have a moral authority to talk about Iran because we don't talk about Russia. Excuse me, that's all the left-wing media has been talking about for over a year now, is Russia. The Russian collusion. Again, this is why Matthew Dowd doesn't get a clever nickname. His nickname is simply the idiot. So again, the liberal media has been taken to task for its unfair coverage of the Iranian protests, and rightly so. It would be hard to find a greater contrast than the one between the courageous protesters and the cowardly media. But there's something else going on in Iran, and this is what I want to get at. there's something else going on in Iran that is playing a role. How big and important a role, we don't know just yet. But it's something that's been building and growing under the surface and behind closed doors. And it remains one of the best kept secrets in the world, despite occasional media reports in the last few years. Iranian Muslims are converting to Christianity at an unprecedented pace. Now, folks, I've heard this from Iranian converts that I know personally. I've read it in other, media pieces that are covered by more, let's just say, objective in their coverage of news. There are Christian leaders that will tell you they are making huge inroads in Iran. And even outside of Iran, too, in other Muslim countries. Missiologists, whose job it is to track such things, they tell you. And it's reminiscent of the conversion of tens of millions of Chinese behind the cover of the bamboo curtain. Missiologists were reporting about it years before the rest of the world found out about it. And now it's kind of like I guess you'd call it an open secret. There were headlines in April of 2014 in the UK Telegraph that read, "China on course to become world's most Christian nation within 15 years. The number of Christians in communist China is growing so steady that by 2030, it could have more church-going Christians than the United States." Now, folks, that's big. That's huge. Why? Why? I did not have the time to dig into heavy research as to why so many Muslims are converting to Christianity. But I'm definitely curiously piqued on this, and I want to know more. So I will be looking into it further. I intend to share more of this with you in the future. I just hope there's something to it to share, actually. And that is my big extra as to why we're seeing the protests with the conversion to Christianity. They're seeing things in a different light. And they know that they have to do this for them and, for their children and their grandchildren and, whoever it is. They just know it's the right thing to do. They're not going to be oppressed. So anyway, apparently you've been glued to the edge of your seats because you did not ring the phone, which is fine. I'm used to that. I had another piece we definitely don't have time to get into. I needed about another 15 minutes to do DACA tonight. Maybe I'll save DACA. Maybe something will develop in the next week with the budget talks that'll affect DACA, and we can go into it a little better and deeper. That's going to just about do me in for tonight, folks. Again, Jesse's POV is coming up right after the commercial break following this program. And that will be followed by the Stafford Voice after that. And then you can have your nightcap and turn in. If you're down here with me on the lovely northern Gulf Coast, wrap up. It's going to be colder than for us tonight, not for people like Rick at the mothership further north and to the west, or to some of our friends up the East Coast. You're getting your winter storm now. I saw Before I came in here, we had snow falling in North Carolina and Virginia and probably in South Carolina a little bit still. All that's going to be sliding up the East Coast overnight, and by tomorrow it will be around the Boston area. So my friends up there, be safe. Do what you can to stay warm. Please, please bring your pets in. Get them warm somehow. Don't let them die in this brutal cold. Don't be a jackass that way. Friends, if you like the show, tell your friends. If they like the show, you need new friends. But you and they are welcome here every week with me on KLRN Radio for the Conservative Curmudgeon Radio Show. I thank you, God bless you, and we'll see you next week.
Life, never back down from a challenge or a fight. Picks up a fight.